All right, so Brother Zelos wanted to bring a topic. We kind of started talking about it, but I wanted to get this on audio because it's a good one. What's your topic, Brother Zelos?
Hymns. How do we... What makes a hymn biblical? And how do we know or discern biblical hymns that are good, pure, and true from a lot of the really shallow and probably false doctrine hymns that are out there that are more for entertainment than actual singing to God and edifying of the body?
Yeah, yeah, that's a great topic. And for anybody listening, you'll never hear us record hymns and put them on our websites. You also will never hear us record prayer. We just don't believe that recording prayer and hymns for the general world listening in, could be seekers, could be mockers, could be atheists, could be some genuine Christians listening in too. But we just don't believe it's for anyone outside, anyone for other than people that are in our fellowship, united to us. And that keeps it, well, our Savior said to pray in secret, first of all, so publicizing that on the internet seems totally contradictory. And when it comes to the singing, we believe that's a very personal thing that only should be shared in the bodies. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Now,
amen.
I would stand rock solid on the prayer part. Now, some people in other bodies will put their singing out there, and I guess I can't find a Bible verse to build a case against that completely, but I think it does. The problem I would have with that is it's supposed to be singing to each other and to God, and when you record it and put it on the internet, you're now doing it and making it like available to everybody, and it becomes to me more like entertainment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm totally against what they do with music nowadays. You buy your favorite Christian artist and you get a CD and you pop it in your CD player and it lifts your mood when you had a bad day at work. That's not what what singing is supposed to be about.
No, it's supposed to be deeper.
Yep.
For like teaching, exhortation, edification, admonishment.
Yep.
Praise of the Lord. I mean, it's not something that should be at all done in or for the flesh.
Yep, yep. Amen. So yeah, that's why we don't audio record that and put it out there anywhere. That's just for the body. I would start out on this topic, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So it's to the Lord, and then it's also to each other. It talks about that in Ephesians as well. So I think that's kind of the plumb line to start talking about this. So what makes a good hymn? It's got to be theologically sound so that it's teaching and admonishing one another. I think we can agree on that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, theologically sound. Also, we talked about, before we started the audio, but let's re-talk about it. It's got to have depth to it. What do I mean by that, Brother Zelos?
It's actually deeper. It has a spiritual meaning. It actually has meat to it. It's not just like, well, I'll restate this. A lot of the modern hymns are not much deeper than, hey, Jesus is my boyfriend and I love him. Like, that's essentially the message they bring. It's very cheap. It's very shallow. It's just repetitive, what sounds good. And it doesn't have any actual depth or deeper meaning to it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, it's got to be teaching and admonishment. It's got to be deep. Ready? I'm going to throw out a concept here that not many people talk about, but I think it needs to be this. Ready? It needs to be two things really important. It needs to be Christ-centered. It needs to be gospel-centered. Think about our lives. Think about our ministries. Think about what we preach and proclaim and what we live by. The Psalms written in the time of Psalms were one frame of time. We've now moved into the time of Christ. We're in the new covenant. We're in the blood covenant. We're in the time of his shed blood, his resurrection. I think our Psalms and our hymns and our teaching and admonishing to each other should relate to the gospel. and Christ. That should be the focus. What say you, brothers?
I guess I'd ask you to define, like, okay, hymns are generally like poetry, so it's hard to have a hymn that goes on many topics. Generally, a hymn might be a thought that expounds on one theme. So even if you were expounding on something of the gospel or Christ-centered or to something that fit with Christ, if you had a hymn that lifted up Jesus Christ and his work, but didn't go into the rest of the gospel, it'd still be biblical, even though you kind of didn't go into everything in that one hymn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm not saying you can preach the complete gospel in every single hymn, but I think that I think as a body, if you start singing a bunch of hymns and you're not Christ and gospel centered in that, I think you can go in the wrong direction.
Yeah, because I mean, there's. You can have a hymn that lifts up God and his marvelous works and thank him for everything and that, but so, I mean, Christ-centered, Christ is the word, as long as it's biblical in all things, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking that if we're teaching each other, I just think they should be Christ-centered in this age that we live in the time that we live in. I think that they should be lifting up Christ. I think that they should be lifting up the gospel. I think that they should be pointing the way and teaching the way of the gospel and holiness. And I said before we started the audio that most hymns I hear are just fluff. I'll be honest with you. I think they're just fluff. They're like theological Christianity light. And I think there should be more depth. And when I think of depth, I think of Christ and the gospel, his shed blood, his resurrection, his work for us. To me, that's where the depths are. Everything else, as we know, is just dung compared to that. So, and again, I'm not saying you're going to preach the gospel in every hymn. I get that. It's not practical to do that, but I think there should be that element there.
Yeah, like, I get it. But it should be the element, because the purpose, again, is lifting up, worshiping God and magnifying him. It's teaching, exhorting, edifying, admonishing one another with all grace unto the Lord. And I think it's kind of hard for a saint to do any of that stuff and not to mention Christ and what God has done for us.
That's what I'm talking about. We're as a body and as a brother and as every person running their own home, I know how Christ-centered and how gospel-centered you men are. I think that that's very, very important element to any hymn singing. Hello, Brother Kuo.
Hello.
Brother Kuo is joining us. He just got off work. Brother Kuo, we are doing an audio. You're going to love this. Guess what the audio? Guess what the topic is?
How to pick the right hymn.
Hey, there you go. Good job. So I like what Brother Zelos just said, that, you know, because Christ is so much of who we are and we're also gospel-centered. I think that element of him, his shed blood, the resurrection, his return, our great hope, for me... And again, I want to say this right off the top. I think there's liberty in hymns. I get it. It's not the Word of God. It's not Holy Spirit-inspired stuff here. So there's liberty. Everybody's going to like something a little bit different. But I just believe that we're so gospel and Christ-centered and blood and resurrection-centered. I can't imagine how hymns couldn't be that centered also. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What say you, Brother Kuo? You're walking right into this.
Yeah, I usually choose hymns that are definitely doctrinally correct. And I try to pick hymns that don't glorify maybe how you feel or the feelings you have towards God. It glorifies God.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about not a lot of the hymns are like fluffy. They're like Christianity light kind of stuff, and we want to avoid that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're building kind of a case here. Theologically sound, they're teaching. They're teaching, it's what it says, teaching each other. So they should be educational in the theology and the doctrines of God. And so that's why I would, you know, I'm just going to say it. If I was picking hymns and I was making up hymns, my hymns would have references of Christ, his work, his shed blood, the gospel, his resurrection, his return. That's me. That's how I feel led. Now, that doesn't mean everybody has to do that. But I just want to stay Christ-focused in everything. And to me, hymns is that area of life where, for me, it would be that as well.
Yeah.
Brother Purgos, you haven't said much. What's your thoughts on this?
The whole point of a hymn is to sing a religious ode by implication to celebrate God in song. We celebrate God by proclaiming what he has done for us. The highest thing he has done for us is Christ. So most hymns by implication would talk about probably Christ.
Yeah. Amen. That's what I would believe and lean towards. And again, I know a lot of people say the Psalms, but the Psalms were written in a different time, weren't they?
They were, but even the Psalms, they were either a plea to God, a supplication of some kind, or they were glorifying him, lifting up his works, or they were talking about his coming judgment and the hope that we have in him.
Amen. And you can find you can find the assemblance of the gospel there. I get it.
And basically, that's generally what we would do the same. We talk about the hope we have, but our hope now is not that God will restore Israel and save his people. Our hope now is in Christ. We lift up his marvelous works. I mean, that's everything from creation to the greatest work that's ever been done, which is Christ crucified and raised from the dead, and the spirit and the new heart that he gave us. And we would supplicate and ask him for whatever it is that we would ask him.
Yeah.
I think like that generally cover pretty much what a biblical hymn is.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't take on this topic. So how about, we were talking about this before we started an audio. How about hymns written by heretic men?
Yeah, it's kind of
So
the words can sound good. The words can sound good. If you just look at the words and you didn't know who wrote it, you could think, hey, this might be nice. But then you find out that it was written by somebody who was like either a complete heretic or maybe someone who killed people or did really wicked things, but yet claimed the name of Christ and wrote this, and you're kind of like, well, now I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah, like I said, the popes wrote this hymn in between burning people at the stake.
Yeah.
Personally, again, I think there is liberty in hymns, obviously. There is. For me, I want nothing to do with a hymn written by some guy that I know was a heretic or a murderer. I want nothing to do with it, personally. I feel like God endows people with the ability to make up your own hymn. It's singing with some words on it. This isn't rocket science. It's not hard. It doesn't have to be beautiful. It doesn't have to be poetically flowing. God's going to receive whatever we offer him. And I think that as a body, I think you can make up your own hymns. Now, that being said, if you know some hymns that are sound and they lift up Christ, and we don't know they were created by a heretic, murderous man, well, okay, I wouldn't rule them out. But for me in my house, I'm going to avoid all appearance of evil. And so, you know, they said Charles Manson became a Christian in jail. I don't want to be singing a hymn that he wrote. I'll avoid that. I think there's other choices. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he was a true Christian or not. Most guys in jail that I've seen are not what we would call the ecclesia. Most of them end up getting reached by some evangelical group or Mormon group or whatever. So, Brother Kua, what say you about that? Heretic authors of hymns.
It doesn't really affect my conscience a whole lot, but I see how it could be a problem. There's a verse in Psalms that says, I will hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me.
Yeah.
So that could apply there.
Or Paul saying, lay hands on no man quickly, lest you be a partaker of his sins. It's like, to me, a psalm or a song is so spiritual, and I'm offering it to God. I want to make sure that it's pure. Not tainted. So that's kind of my take on it. So I would recap. It's got to be theologically sound. It can't be fluffy and light. I think that Psalms today should, at least Psalms that I would either write or find or come up with, I think they got to be glorifying to Christ. They should have an element of the gospel. Okay, ready? I think they should be evangelistic in a sense. I mean, look what our whole lives are about. Living for Christ, preaching Christ, lifting up Christ crucified, looking for his coming, walking in holiness. I mean, to me, that's what, in a ecclesia body today, that's what the Psalms should be talking about for the most part. Now, I get it. You could have a psalm singing about the glorious things that God did through Noah. I get it. You could. I'm not saying that's sinful. But I think it'd be nice if the focus was on Christ more often than not. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess when it comes to the him being evangelistic, I mean, it's just for the body. I mean, we don't use it for evangelism, and people outside of the body generally don't hear it because what's outside of the body and people we're not united to, they get the word of God and preaching because that's what they need. And if they're ever united to us, then they can basically see prayer together or singing or things like that.
Let me explain what I meant. When I said evangelistic, I'm meaning within the body. Because if you have a body, you may have like newer believers, and they're getting sounded and rooted in the gospel of Christ. And I didn't mean outside. I meant even in the body. I mean, aren't we always going over the gospel, and we never get far from the gospel, and we're always close to the blood of Christ and his resurrection, right?
Yeah, no.
That's what I meant. I didn't mean it's for the world. I meant it's like evangelistic in the body, because we're teaching each other the gospel.
Yeah, no, I know what you meant. I was just clarifying, I guess.
Yeah, because I mean, we're teaching each other the gospel, aren't we, always? Isn't that almost like a lot of what we do is we're just rooted on the gospel? What is the gospel? Faith in Christ and his work and our repentance to him. You know, we talk about his shed blood, his resurrection, his coming back. It can entail repentance. It's talking about the new birth, the Spirit of God. It's encouraging us to walk in holiness and obedience and lift up God and glorify him and enduring in the faith. I mean, that's kind of what we do for each other constantly, among other things. So I think there's a lot of there is a lot of leeway in hymns. I get it. But I think our basers that we all could agree on, they got to be theologically sound. They should be have depth to them. They shouldn't be fluffy. They can't be entertaining. Does everybody know what I mean by that?
Songs that basically have, let me sum it up this way, they have very little depth to them, but they probably sound really good when you sing them, and then you sing them just for the sake of singing something that sounds good.
Yeah. Do you ever hear like any of the Mennonite choir singing? No music, no instruments. You ever hear any of those, brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're amazing. On up this, in, and I do this, and then do this. It's like a little adventure, and it's kind of fun. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that part of it shouldn't be there. Where it's like all adventuresome and all of that. I mean, I'm not musical, so I don't know how to explain it, but I know without instruments, it's not fleshly, but I've heard Mennonite singing a cappella songs that are fleshly. Does that make sense?
So singing would be a part of worship, if we could agree there.
Right.
And our worship must be in spirit and in truth. And anytime you go off spirit and truth to make it into any kind of show for the flesh, where you're either singing to sound good, or somebody's just listening to you because they like how it sounds, and it's not about the spirit and the truth of the hymn and the lifting up of God and His truth, it becomes fleshly singing, and it's no longer spirit and truth worship.
Yeah.
We don't do it that way.
That's where I was going with it, is yeah, it's some of these, even the acapella singing, it's just so fleshly, it's entertaining. It's like they sing and they practice and they're all over the place, and I think they have to be real basic when it comes to that. Just plain pure from the heart, you know?
Yeah.
From the heart. So theological, not fluffy, deep with a message to them. My preference, I like things that glorify Christ and the gospel. That's kind of my preference. I like that. Someone could choose something else. And what else? What else are we not entertaining? You know, pleasant, ready? Pleasant to the ear, like the melody. Oh, that really like lifted me. It was pleasant to the ear. I listen to some of those, and I'm like, after I'm done with them, I'm like, wow, the way they sung that really lifted me up. And I'm like, it wasn't the theology that lifted me up. It was the way they sang it. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Do you other brothers know what I'm talking about? Have you ever heard practiced a cappella singers?
Oh, yes. The words are almost immaterial to it at a point.
Yeah. And I know we'll never be that because we don't do it that way. But what else are we missing, or what else do we need to know about that? The scripture doesn't give us a lot about it, but...
No, it's more of a discernment thing, I guess, and that's why it's good to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay, I think, so let's go into the little bit of the depth of it. I think before any song is sung as a corporate body, the words should be checked out and approved of.
Well, yeah, but we're supposed to do that not just as a body, but even individually when we sing something. We don't want to sing something that's... well, I guess there's a line there too, because some songs are written in a poetic way, and then it can kind of depend on what you mean when you say those words, because they're kind of so vague. But when you would bring it to others for edification, I think you ought to make sure that what you're bringing is not going to, cannot be taken the wrong way. It's
right.
Very clear.
But did you hear what I said? You're talking about individual singing. I said when somebody brings a song to sing corporately.
Yeah, but even that, what you're talking about, should also be done on an individual level.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you shouldn't pick up...
It should definitely be checked.
Yeah, you shouldn't pick up any hymn that just makes your ears feel good and sing it. You should look at the words and see if it's theologically sound and has depth to it, and is it something that you would sing to the body instead of just singing to yourself and go, ah, it's kind of light and fluffy, but I like it. Well, why do you like it if it's light and fluffy? It would be my question. So, but what I'm saying is before a body would sing a song, it should be looked at, and everybody should, the lyrics should be tested. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And we're just not going to sing, well, first of all, you can't. How do you sing a song you don't even know the words to, right? So
yeah.
So let's help people, ready? So how is this done? So a brother comes up with a hymn. Either he finds one, hopefully not created by a heretic mass murderer who is a false churchianity guy today now, and he says, hey, I got a hymn I'd like to sing in the body. Okay. He doesn't just come and sing it. What's the appropriate way to do it? What should he do? I'm talking about corporate here. When you sing something yourself, the onus is on you now to test it for your life, your house. But if you do offer it to other people, you should be always, always testing to make sure it's biblical. But definitely test it if you're going to offer it. So what should the protocol be? Hey, I want to sing this hymn. I either wrote it or I found it. What should we do, brothers?
Share the lyrics with one another to test it.
Yeah. Yeah, so the lyrics should be brought and shared so that we can go, well, yeah, this seems theologically sound, and it's not just fluffy. It's more than Jesus is my high school sweetheart. And it's teaching, and it's edifying. And then from there, whoever's bringing it would have to, like, introduce it to everyone so that everyone else could pick it up and learn it, right?
Yeah.
That's how it would be done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I'd see it, so.
Yeah. Now, the only difference is like, if somebody finds a hymn that's, like, already written or it's famous or whatever, they can find, like, an audio of it. And they could play an audio of it, I suppose, to just the body, and we could listen to the lyrics and see how the song goes. And then if it is sound and it's approved of, then that's kind of a good way to learn it. I get. Brother Kuo, are you you're musical or whatever? What do you call it? Like the tempo or the. There's no beat or rhythm because no instrument. What do you call that?
Melody.
Is it a melody? Okay. All right, the melody. So, you know, then listening to it might be a good way for people to learn the melody, right?
Oh, yeah. Or maybe that brother can learn it and then he sings it for the body to learn the melody, which would probably be better.
Yeah. Yeah, he could either make an audio or he could sing it and then everybody could try to learn it and then we can sing it together. So, yeah.
So yeah, it's an interesting topic to think about because it requires, I think, a lot of wisdom and discernment.
Yeah, and you know what? I think hymns are a lot like food. There's a lot of liberty. What I like, you probably won't like. What you like, I might go, you can't believe. You eat that? So there's a lot of liberty and it's not sinful as long as it's theologically sound. And so... I think there's a lot of liberty in it. Would everybody agree with that?
Yeah. There's liberty, I guess, until it gets to the point where it would be doctrinally or theologically unsound.
Yeah, yeah.
But everything under there is kind of a liberty thing. So,
yeah.
Like, again, one person would look at a hymn that's written by a heretic and go, well, he was a heretic, but I'm not, and I agree with these words, but... And then another one might go, well, yeah, but he was a heretic, and you're kind of singing, no, I just can't, right? So that would be a liberty thing. So
somebody's got to explain to me, avoid all appearance of evil. I'm going to stand on that one. Especially when you can make up your own or find other ones. But that's just me. So that's just me. I've had some experience with this, so. Maybe some good and some bad experiences. So I don't know if you brothers have, but I have. So, yeah, good topic. Anybody got anything else on hymn singing? How to pick a good hymn? Definitely got to be theological. It should be have depth to it, not be light and fluffy. Everybody can have a preference. I like Christ honoring, gospel centered, talking about the blood hymns. I like those. Talking about His return. Let me say this. I'm a big believer, if we're going to have hymns today, I think they should, does this sound right? They should fit the time we live in. I just believe that. I think they should fit the I'm not going to say dispensation, the time that we live in. And we're living in Christ risen, the body, the ecclesia, heading into the dark times of the new of Antichrist or tribulation, Christ's return. So obviously we're not going to sing about Antichrist, but Christ's return is a lot of people's thoughts, even more so now. It should have always been, but so I don't know. Does that make sense to me? They should be like relevant to where we are today. That's just me. Maybe that's just my preference. What say you, brothers?
Like, I guess I agree with it, but I would not have a problem like singing like psalms or about the old works of God, the works of God that He did of old, and things like that. I guess for me, as long as it's biblical and it lifts up the Creator God who always was and is and ever shall be, then I guess yeah, like it should definitely be. Because again, if you lift up God, you're going to lift up His works, you're going to lift up Christ, because that's the best miracle He's ever done.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. we keep talking here. So if I'm going to sing, to me, I'm going to sing about the best thing I got going. That's just me. That I'm not going to like, hey, I got this going on. I think I'll sing about this today. Man, I'm going for this. And it's Christ. And it's his shed blood. And his resurrection. And his return. That's just me. I'm not saying that that's how it's got to be in our body. Everyone can be, have liberty of that. But I'm singing like about the best thing I got. And that's what I preach about. That's what I live about. And to me, that would be my focus. That would just be my focus is it would be about Christ. And I think I got to believe this. I think if Paul sung hymns, I think that's what he'd be singing about.
Yeah.
So probably. So I'm going for like the best. Everything else is dung to me. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Christ is above all. And
yeah.
Hey, if you read, I think it's Revelation 5 and Revelation 8 where they're praising God in heaven. They're both lifting up, worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
You were going to go, you're going right where I was going next. What are we going to be singing in heaven? Shouldn't we be practicing?
Hey, good point.
It's going to be about the Lamb. It's going to be about the kingdom of God. It's going to be about the new Jerusalem. It's going to be about how he overcame. It's going to be about his blood that shed for his people. To me, that should be our focus. And again, I'm kind of a forward-focused guy. I've always looked at God's word as a revelation, Genesis to Revelation, as a progressive revelation. And to me, we're moving through this time and we're approaching the end times. And so, yeah, I'm going to practice for what it's going to be like in heaven. When I'm the janitor in heaven, I'm going to be singing those songs that I see in the book of Revelation while I'm mopping up around the pillars. While I'm mopping up around you guys, the pillars, I'm going to be cleaning up. If the Lord lets me in, I'll be happy with that.
You think there's going to be dust in heaven?
No, not dust. I'll be polishing my brethren.
All right.
So yeah, that's a good point about what will we be singing when we study through Revelation, and that's coming up. We're going to see that.
Yeah.
That might inspire what we choose to sing. What about that?
Yeah, it should.
Yeah, but again, we see Christ in the Old Testament, so I get it. People can sing hymns. I mean, you could go in the hymns, and can't you take the words and you can make a hymn? I mean, people make up these hymns.
Oh yeah, you can.
I've made up my own songs. It's not hard.
Yeah.
We don't need Martin Luther or John MacArthur's choir. We don't need them. Brother Purgos, you gotta look there. Anything else on what makes up a good hymn?
Not for me. I think that was all the thoughts I had. So,
Brother Kuo, Brother Purgos.
Nothing else for me.
I think we covered it pretty well.
Yeah? All right, brothers. Yep. Good stuff. Thanks.